Western corn rootworm is one of the biggest pests of corn in the Midwest United States. Damage is caused by larvae feeding on corn roots in late spring to early summer. Besides causing yield loss from decreased plant vigor, large numbers of larvae will destroy roots to the point where the corn plant will completely fall over, especially after storms, and this is called lodging. The Western corn rootworm is univoltine, and the typical life cycle of this insect is completed entirely in corn. The eggs hatch in late spring, and larvae feed on corn roots. The adults emerge midsummer, and the females will typically lay their eggs in the soil of cornfields. And then eggs go through obligatory diapause over the winter. Now, the only crop plant, anyway, that larvae can survive on is corn. So if a farmer is going to plant soybeans in a field that had corn in it the previous year, any larvae emerging in that soybean field would not survive. However, in the early 90s, in East Central Illinois, growers started to notice larval rootworm damage in fields that had soybeans in them the previous year. And as it turns out, the females leave the cornfields and they lay their eggs in soybean fields. And then the following spring, those soybean fields are planted to corn, allowing larvae emerging there to survive and happily munch away on corn roots and destroy rotated corn. What is now known about what we call the rotation-resistant behavioral phenotype is that, generally speaking, there is a reduced fidelity to corn. Rotation-resistant females are not necessarily attracted to soybeans nor adapted to feed on soybeans. Locomotor behavior suggests that they are more active, both in running and flying behaviors, so this is going to increase the chances that they end up in a soybean field to lay their eggs. These abbreviations here, WT and RR, I'll just point out now, I'll use them in subsequent figures to simplify. WT, or wild type, will refer to females that are likely to remain in corn to lay their eggs. And RR, or rotation resistant, will refer to those females likely to leave corn to lay their eggs. So how do we find some kind of a molecular mechanism or marker for this trait? Obviously, a mechanism would be really great, but even a marker would be really useful as well. We can look at the population dynamics and traits of this trait, and we could maybe find a novel target to exploit. We can do diagnostic sampling, so a marker would be good. Other mapping type approaches have not found any kind of association with the rotation resistant trait. Of the few microsatellites and AFLP markers that we have, they don't tend to show a whole lot of variation, and the variation that is there does not seem to be associated with rotation resistance at all. The approach taken at Illinois was to construct a microarray to search for gene expression differences, and maybe we can find a candidate that way. Our cDNA library was made from heads of gravid females, the rationale being that genes linked to behavior would be most highly expressed in the head. And there are over 8,000 expressed sequence tags printed on our arrays. I'll just show you results of one microarray experiment that I did. Up here is a map showing the populations that I collected. The rotation-resistant trait is actually spreading all the time. It's in most of Illinois now and Indiana, even into western Ohio, southern Michigan, southern Wisconsin, I believe. So the closest places to Champaign-Urbana to collect wild-type beetles is actually in the extreme western edge of the state here, but that's even becoming a little bit iffy now. This population, we can get the mouse back. Okay. This population, Monmouth here, is actually now likely to be in a transition towards evolving rotation resistance, and I'll talk about that a little bit later in the talk. Right here is a volcano plot. These are the results of that microarray experiment. So the x-axis refers to the difference in expression, and each dot represents the data point from the output of the analysis of variance on each EST. The dotted lines here just refer to a twofold difference in expression. The y-axis here is the significance of that particular nova, and this is at a negative log scale. This horizontal line here just simply refers to the Bonferroni cutoff, because I'm doing 8,000 ANOVAs, so correcting for the large number of simultaneous tests. and there were 46 ESTs that were at above that level. Now, if we were going to look for a marker or something that's responsible for this trait, ideally we would want something with a very large and very significant difference in expression. So something showing up in these quadrants here, right? And I'll talk about what these genes do a little bit later. I validated some of these candidates with real-time PCR using independent samples of beetles collected the following summer and in a few different locations. Of the 9 candidates I'll be showing you, 5 were predicted from the microarray of higher expression in the rotation-resistant females, and 4 were predicted from the arrays to have higher expression in the wild-type females. And so here are the mean expression differences of those candidates. I'll tell you what the letters stand for and give you the accession numbers in a moment. These bars without error bars are actually referred to median values because these are non-parametric tests, but the others are means. And what we see is that in all of the rotation-resistant predicted candidates, there is higher expression in that type. And then conversely, the same thing for the wild-type candidates. Even if the difference was not always significant, the trend was still there. The candidate that I've marked A over here actually has the most significant difference of all of them, and this translates to a more than 2-fold difference in expression between the types. I will bring your attention to the Monmouth population that I mentioned earlier that may be in transition. When I include data from the Monmouth population, that actually makes the difference a little bit bigger. So all the Monmouth data clusters with the rotation-resistant beetles. The candidates E, H, and I also have significant differences, and I will point out the Monmouth population again in that when I put those data into this set, they are sufficiently variable so that it doesn't really change the stats at all. So if we were looking at candidate A, we would say that Monmouth was resistant. If we're looking at the other 3 candidates, we would say that it's probably in transition, that it's variable. So what do all these genes do? I'll talk about the rotation-resistant ones first. So this is just the volcano plot. If there are letters or stars here, these are the ones that I validated with real-time PCR. And unfortunately, a lot of the ones that are more highly expressed in the rotation-resistant females don't have any matches to any known protein. And there's even at least one, if not more than that, that don't even have an open reading frame. So fortunately, we can't extract any kind of a mechanism out of that. And the ones that do have a match in a BLAST-X search don't have an obvious connection to any kind of behavioral mechanism. Of the genes that are more highly expressed in the wild-type females, those are the ones likely to remain in corn, we find a bunch of antimicrobial genes. These marked here in yellow are all highly similar in sequence, and they come up with only one, all the same match in a BLAST-X search, and all it says is antibacterial peptide from a dung beetle. And when I went to a study on the immunity genes in Tribolium, this turns out these are probably putative attassins, and attassins are proteins that typically target gram-negative bacteria. The ones I have colored down here in green are all separate defensin genes. And defensins are genes that will typically, or proteins that will typically target gram-positive bacteria. And those were significant in the real-time PCR validation. So why do all these antimicrobial genes come up in the analysis, and how do they fit into the picture of the proposed mechanism of rotation resistance being increased locomotor activity? Well, there are a number of studies of behavior in Drosophila and looking at transcriptomic changes, and actually some of these folks are finding the same thing. They're finding differential expression of antimicrobial immunity and even defense-related genes, and this is in behavior, so this is not in relation to infection at all. Some of these behaviors are locomotor activity, aggression, and courting behaviors. So. What I'm proposing is that not that the antimicrobial genes are what is under selection, but rather that this is part of a pleiotropic effect. So this is maybe a downstream effect of whatever actually is being selected. So to conclude, I did find the same expression patterns in samples, independent samples across time and space. The differences were not always significant at p less than 0.05, but the trends were always there. We don't have a perfect mechanism yet, and there's nothing that's, you know, hit you in the face obvious what's going on. But for as far as a marker goes, we don't necessarily need a mechanism for that to be useful. So with that, I will thank a few folks, collaborators, and people who have given me advice, and I'll open it up to questions. Thanks. Yes. Can you speak up?
The fencing are up or lower than the wild type
with respect to the number? She asked about the defensin genes. Those are more highly expressed in the wild type females, the ones likely to remain in corn. Yes. Yeah, Joe?
You mentioned about basically.
Why am I including the wild type, you mean?
No, right now you're basically talk about the genes more specifically expressed in the wild type and then try to find the answers for the behavioral system.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not really okay, so why do we care about what's more highly expressed in the wild type females? Well, I'm looking at both sides of it because we don't really know, since we don't know the mechanism yet, it could be a loss of function in the resistant females. And so if it's a loss of function or they're not doing something, then we still are interested in what's going on in the wild type females. Does that kind of answer your question? Well, I mean, it's a comparison, so I mean, you know, it's just however you want to look at it. I mean, I could say that the genes are more highly expressed in the wild-type females. I could just turn around and say, well, these are more lowly expressed in the resistant females. So it's just the same thing and just a different way of talking about it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. We need